You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Chulin is Daf Hey, and we're holding one third of the way down at Lema Misayale. Now you'll remember that we have two issues that are involved over here, and they were balanced against each other because we weren't able to bring a raya initially for one because maybe it meant the other. So if a Yisrael Mumer for Achilas Nevelas would be kosher for Shvita, as Rava says, and that would be the reference of the various sugis Mumer we were referring to, meaning Mumer lo oto davar, then we were able to say that a Mumer favadis kechovim would be a Mumer lekalat erakula, would not be kosher. Although on the other hand, Rav Anan quoted Shmuel as saying that a Mumer lavadis kechovim is mutter lecho mishkitato, in which case the references to Mumer that we had are not necessarily a raya to Rava, because maybe they're referring to a Mumer lavadis kechovim, and Rava's case of a Mumer lo oto davar is different, because over there, he doesn't view this as being usher at all. Rava Shita is that even a Mumer lo oto davar does view it as usher, and he would attempt to avoid it if possible, but he doesn't go to any tirfa. That was the machloket we had. So at last, we looked to bring a raya from the story of Yehoshaphat and Ahav, and then from the Maase of Eliyahu Hanavi, and this is what we're in the middle of today, where the Orvim, which we took to mean as crows, would fly food from the kitchens of Ahav, from whom he was escaping and hiding, and they would actually bring that food to Eliyahu, and Eliyahu ate the food, despite the fact that the kitchens of Ahav and Izebel might not have had the best hashgacha, being as they're of the Avedizara. Nonetheless, he ate it. So the Gemara said from there, sure. What's the difference? Cook? How was he supposed to eat if it wasn't cooked? But what difference? Basar. It says basar. Fair. Yeah. Raw basar is just as trif as. So we said yesterday, Rabbi Adibo Shaini. Once we raised the question, we were just curious as to how to understand the meaning of the word orvim, which on the surface means crows. My Orvim, so today the Gemara wants to examine that a little bit more, because, I mean, you must admit it's a little bit strange to have crows. I mean, if there's an alternative meaning to the pasuk, then it's certainly more rational to understand that it means something else. So the Gemara says, what exactly are these Orvim, actually? Orvim, that means crows. Orvim, mamash. Why should you say it means crows? Maybe it means two guys by the name of Orev. So the two Orevs, meaning Orvim, Orvim Incorporated, you know, Orev Ubno, Orev Ba'am. So maybe they were bringing the food to Eliyahu. That sounds more reasonable to me. Miloktiv, we know that there were people mentioned in Tanakh by the name of Orev, because it says Vayahargu et Orev, Bitsur Orev, et Zeev, and that's a reference to Bechemet Gideon. And over there, there was not only a guy called Orev, they called the fortress after him, Sur Orev. Omar Leia, that's rational. Two guys by the name of Orev happened to be the ones that were bringing, I mean, it's crazy. It's obviously referring to some type of strange supernatural event, in which the crows were bringing him food. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it means two guys from the town of Orev. And we just said Sur Orev, to the Orvim, meaning two guys from the town of Orev nearby where Eliyahu was hiding, brought him food. I mean, we know that people are sometimes referred as to the lake with her. So even that, so certainly Orvim, is not. So Miloktiv Aram Yatsugi Dudim Vaishbu Mirit Israel Nahara Ketana. So what you mean, Nahara Ketana is an oxymoron. You can't either a Nahara or a Ketana. You can't be a Nahara Ketana. V'kashlan, so we asked, I mean, what kind of meaning is that? On the one hand it's a Nahara, on the other it's Ketana. Kore le Nahara v'kore le Ketana. Omer Rabbi Pidat, it meant they captured a little girl from the town of Nahara, from Nurim, which we find is a town. So that means that we sometimes call a person Hashem Mikomam. Anybody that went to Slabodka knows that you only call people Hashem Mikomam. So if that's the case, why not simply say that instead of referring to something weird like crows, why wouldn't it be talking about from two guys from the town of Orev? Because, says the Gemara, in order to avoid the strange meaning of an Orev being a bird, don't you think that the Torah should have used the proper spelling? I mean, obviously we could pronounce it without that, you know, extra yud, orvim, is the same as orviim. But as Tosis points out, I mean, if you want to make it clear what you're saying, you should write orviim. That's the pshat, guys from Orev, like mitzriim. You double it? So orviimi ba'elei, it should have written orviim in order to clarify. Okay, let's see if we can bring a right actually from the Mishnah itself, or the Braita that expanded on the Mishnah, where we had the din of Orel that we mentioned before. Hakol shochatin afilu kuti veafilu Orel vaafilu Yisrael mum. Aha. So now, once again, and of course we know what we're going to do, we're going to bounce the other possibility. Just like the first time we tried to bring a raya from here, we said that, maybe it means the other mummer. So we're going to engage in this again. So when you say Ora, what do you mean? If it's because he's an Ora due to hemophilia, I need the Mishnah to tell me that a Jew is kosher if he's an Ora because he couldn't get a breed. It's got to be referring to a mumar la'arigut. And it's saying that, nonetheless, he shochet. Okay, now let's continue. Ema seifa, va'afilu Yisrael mumar. Aha! So what is a Yisrael mumar? If it's just a mumar to something, why would that be any different than the mumar la'arigut? Ella must be that this is the only other option. Well, we know it isn't really, but let's pretend. The only other option, which is Rav Anan, namely, that even though he's a mumar l'avodat kochavim, he is nonetheless kosher for shkita, at last the raya. And of course, we're docha the raya to Rav Anan by saying maybe it's a raya to Rava. Just like we were docha the raya to Rava by saying maybe it's a raya to Rav Anan. So therefore, look, le'olam ein melachah mumar l'avodat kochavim is worse and his shkita is not kosher. The Yomar Mar Chamura Avodat Kochavim Shekol HaKofer Bakem Hoda V'Chol HaTorah Kula, that Avodat Kochavim basically equals Kol HaTorah Kula. And therefore, when it says over here Mumer in conjunction with Oral, it's Bedavka not refer, maybe Bedavka not referring to Ravanan's case of a Mumer Lavad Azara, but instead is telling us a great Chiddush. Not only is an Oral kosher, but it was a mumar la'arigut, but even a mumar from McDonald's is kosher. And that would be saying like Rava. Basically, we can't really prove, because we have two options, we can't prove which of the two options we're referring to over here with the word mumar. Therefore, Rava's got an araya because maybe it's Rav Anan. Rav Anan Amar Shmuel has an araya because maybe it's Rava. Meitveh. Let's take a look and see from this braita, which seems to be memayet a mumar. He's not allowed to bring a korban because he's considered to be basically a mumar l'kolat Torah kula. And here it says, where the posuk is introducing, Daber al b'nei Yisrael ve'amarta lehem, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban l'Hashem. Now, mikem is certainly extra, because if it said Daber al b'nei Yisrael, then when I said Adam ki yakriv, obviously I mean Adam ki yakriv from the set I'm addressing, which is B'nai Yisrael. Why does it say Mikem? To tell me, well, not all of you. Mikem, some of you can bring a korban. And that teaches us a mumar, he cannot bring a korban. Lohotzi et ha-mumar. And yet, Daber al B'nai Yisrael, Mikem. That tells me, Mikem b'chem chilakti. Where is the akpada of being a mumar? Only if you're Jewish. If you're not Jewish, we don't care if you're a mumar. So if you want to send, as a goy, a carbon to a god who doesn't exist in your mind, that's fine, we'll accept it. But if you send as a Jew a carbon, and you're a mumar, then we will not accept it. We have higher standards for what kind of carbonot we're going to take from B'nai Yisrael. So b'chem chilakti, it's among you that I worry, but lo b'mot, I don't care about whether they're mumrim or not. min habehima, and in this context, min habehima would mean, but don't think when I say mumer, I mean not animals. Animals can also bring korbanot. That's a bit Israel. Mikem, min habehima, you see the construction over here is a list of people that we can bring korbanos from. So we can bring korbanos from you, some of you, not mumer, all of you, non you, plus from animals that we accept korbanos. So if an animal wants to bring, there's a lot of animals out there. You walk down the street, you see tons of them. So that's talking about b'nei adam shedomim lebeima, animalistic humans, which means mekan that we are mekabel korbanot mi poshei Israel. Not poshei Israel certainly mean that they're mumer of particular mitzvahs. Right? They may eat a McDonald's, but nonetheless, we're not calling them a mumer. So we are allowed to bring the korbanot from them, and that's kedei she'achzuru b'hem b'teshuvah. The Tos is bothered by this. What, we're giving reasons for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thinking over here. I guess we should be mekabel that he must be thinking, what's this business over here? We're going Ali b'Rabbi Shimon. We have to explain why it is that we would be mekabel from the behemot. Tos says, no, the point over here is that we need to establish in our minds a hierarchy of what is more likely that the Torah, because it's not saying what it's calling Behema, what it's calling Mikem, and maybe it's referring to some other issues here, maybe we should invert it. And so therefore, we need to speak out what we think is the rationale, and therefore we can put it into this pasuk. That's the point. So being, if we're going to make a chilek between Domela Behema versus something else, it would have to be a mummer and a pushia. And then we do something strange. We'll accept it from a mummer, but not from a mummer. Now, man, I'm really confused now. Aguf Akasha, explain to me what's going on over here. You started with the Mikem. Mikem, you said, meant Mikem v'lo kuchem lo tziyat ha-mumar, right? Then you say, but, of course, he may be a poshe Yisrael, in which case, obviously, he's doing things but amazing. Well, that doesn't bother me. I mean, you could say, chutz min ha-mumar l'kol ha-torah kula, and that we won't accept, as opposed to Poshe Yisrael, who are sinners. So they ignore kashrus, let's say. They ignore nidos, whatever. But they're not a mumer l'kol ha-torah kula. They consider themselves to be Jewish, but there's some things that they can't afford to keep. All right, that I'm ready to accept. So holokasha. Reish is a mumer l'kol ha-torah kula, and mitziyata is mumer l'dover achad. Well, that would be great, except for the next line. Then you say, mi Poshe Yisrael, chutz min ha-mumer. Now you really got me. So mumer and menaseh tayin mechal shabbat b'farhesia. Okay. So what is that mumer referring to? I mean, if it's referring to mumer l'chol ha-torah kula, you already said that. You said mikem v'lo min ha-mumer, meaning a mumer l'chol ha-torah kula. Okay. So hanureisha, if it means a mumer, meaning a mumer la-reilut, a mumer for kashrus, you just told me that that's included in Poshe Yisrael. And that we are mekabel for Poshe Yisrael. But that's the mikashe mitziyata. A moment ago you said, in the middle clause, that we are mekabel. El alav, there's only one way to read this. And that is, chutz min ha-mumar linaseh et ha-yayin ulechalel shabbatot b'farhesia. We're defining now a new level of mumar that we will not accept the carbon from, despite the fact that he walks along with a big frock, and he speaks Yiddish, and he davens with the Leif Sholem, and so on. But he doesn't want to have Avodah Zarah on the side. Maybe he bows down to the Kotel Maharavi or something like that. So then, I would say he's certainly kosher to bring a carbon. Therefore, we need to know that it's considered to be a mummer. But now that I know it's considered to be a mummer, so now I understand that Ravanan is wrong, because saying over here, that no, that is defined as a mumer l'kol ha-torah kula. Whereas Rav Onan Amar Shmuel was saying, a mumer l'avodat kochavim is not really a mumer l'kol ha-torah. He's got a problem. Here it's saying, no. This is included in the din of the reisha, even though you might think, look, it's very limited. The guy is like 100%, except that's considered to be a mumer l'kol ha-torah kula. So, alma mumer l'avodat kochavim, have a mumer l'kol ha-torah kula, v'tiyufta de Rav Onan. This seems to be a checkmate, tiyufta. Okay, now we've given up on Rav Onan, in which case we're coming back. The rias that we have before would be rias to Rava. Our only question is that it appears over here that we're not mekabel korbanot from a mumrim, from the Parsha of Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem. The problem is that we have a completely different source for that. Ask the Gemara Vahami, Hachanafka. You're telling me this is where we learn out the din that a carbon from a mumer is not accepted? I thought we've got like this big sugya where by chatat it says mehatam nafka me'am ha'aretz. So there the Torah says ve'im nefesh echad techetef ishkaga me'am ha'aretz. So me'am ha'aretz, what do you mean me'am ha'aretz? Me'am ha'aretz means, well, not everybody. Okay, it's the same implication as mikem. So it's telling me prat l'mumer. So a mumer cannot bring a chatat, and I mean the implications is any kind of mumer, but we'll get into that in a moment. But I mean certainly whatever mumer you were motzi from mikem, we're being motzi over here from me'am ha'aretz. Reb Shimon ben Yosi Omer Mishum Reb Shimon. It's from the continuing sugya, where over there it says that the truth is, it's not really the continuing sugya, it's the previous sugya. You have to remember that the chata'ot, recall, are arranged with the paralim davar, with Kohen Mashiach, the paralim davar, the nasi, and then finally the me'am ha'aretz, which Rapasha simply means the regular guy, as opposed to the nasi, the case before, or the entire tzibur, the case afterwards, before that, I mean. So, but nonetheless, as we saw back in Tzvachim, the Torah specifically interrelates all of these. So, for all intents and purposes, the Lashon that is brought by one applies to the other. So where it says, Asher lo te'asena bishkaga ve'ashem, this means that, and it continues on to say, Oho da'i lav chatato asher chatave ve'ashem, I'm referring to as chatasin. In other words, that for his sin. Mashma that Asher lo te'asena bishkaga vehoda, that if he had known about it, he never would have done it. It's because he didn't know about it, subsequently found out about it. But suppose even if he had known about it, he would have done it. How about then? Then he wouldn't have been able to bring a carbon. So in other words, Hashav miyediato mevi korban al shigigato. Eino shav miyediato. So someone who would have done this anyway, even had he known about it, cannot bring a carbon. Huh. In other words, a mummer can't bring a carbon. If he is a mummer to have done it b'mezid, so then he can't bring a carbon. Now, the fact is that over there we asked, I mean, are they arguing, or is this just a different drasha? My benayu, and Rav Amnuna explained that the difference between them is that according to the Tanakhama, supposing you had someone who was a mumer le'achol chelev, and now he doesn't do anything else for him. Now he eat dam b'shogeg. So can he bring a carbon on dam? No. He can't bring a carbon on dam because prat lo mumer. So if he was a mumer for one, he can no longer bring a carbon. And according to Rabbi Shimon, would he eat dam if he knew? No, he wouldn't have eaten dam if he knew. Therefore, he is not considered to be a mumer vis-a-vis dam. Okay, that's the difference. But meanwhile, do we not see from here that the miut of a mumer legabe korban is be'am ha'aretz and not mikem? So why do we need to? Well, that's simple to answer. We need two because we have two completely different sugyas. Chada bechatat, bechada beola. The original pasuk that we said the barrel of an Israel, in which mikem korban lashem is a reference to a gift, bringing a carbon oil. And here me'am ha'aretz ba'asota is a reference to a chiyuv. If somebody did a avera sheyesh bo chiyuv karet bishkaga, then the Torah is mechayev him to bring a korban chatat. Now, obviously, that's not precisely the same thing, because v'tzricha. Let's say the Torah would have told us, I will not accept korban chatas from a mumer. I would have said, well, of course. Why would the Torah want to give him a kapara? I mean, it's inappropriate. The guy is still standing b'mirdo. I don't want to give a kapara to such a person. So, yashmira chatat, I would say, okay. That's because it's a kapara. And since this guy doesn't really care, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mechaper for him. Why should we accept it? But, I mean, if he wants to bring a gift, an Eila on his own, why not? An Eila de Doronu, Emile Kabelinine. On the other hand, if it said Ola, I'd say, look, the guy doesn't need to bring an Eila, all right? So what's he trying to do? Kiss up to me. Forget it. I don't want these kind of gifts. So that's, I accept gifts from friends. So that's because it's not a chiyuv. The guy wants to do a mitzvah. It has nothing to do with my accepting anything from him. He's got a chiyuv. Fine, he can do his chiyuv. What do I care? So a chatas, which is a chiyuv, maybe would be mekabel. Therefore, we need both parshiot. One to tell me a mumer is possible to bring an eila. The other to tell me that a mumer is possible to bring a chatat. Now, there's something very problematic with this sugya. And that is, as Tosis points out, a minute ago on Amud Aleph, we just said that it's only the mumer labadat kochavim that cannot bring a korban. And now we're saying a mumer lechol dam, or mumer lechol chelev, that the pharaohs with Porsche Yisrael are able to bring a korban. So not only should the Gemara not say, well, why do we learn out from here, we learn out from there, on the contrary, it's a big machlokas asugis. One man, the Omer holds, mikem, and Darshan is assaulting Mina Abeima, the rabbi says Abeima, even somebody would eat dam. And the other, this Mandi Omer, is saying, we don't darshan that, we darshan it from here. How's the Gemara pretending this is all one sugya? It's just a question, do we learn it for Eila, do we learn it for Chakas? This is really crazy. You can't just ignore that. That was the main point throughout the sugya, is how to distinguish the different types of mumer. So remember, what we've distinguished so far is a mumer for a particular Aveira. A mumer in terms of ne'emanut for the very issue on which he's a mumer for, which was the mumer, the McDonald mumer, according to Rava. A mumer l'kalat erakula. A mumer v'avadat kochavim, according to Rabbanan Amar Shmuel, which is not a mumer l'kalat erakula. Then we have this brayta that says we do have a mumer l'kalat erakula, even if he's only a mumer v'avadat kochavim. According to this time, even if he's a mumer l'kalat Shabbat, he becomes a mumer l'kalat erakula. This, of course, as you know, is no gate, a question of Jews or Mechal Shabbat before Hesia, whether we give them a din of goyim, like Abbe the Rashba's approach, that they can make the wine puzzle, which is like the biggest thing, because now you do the one-upmanship in the restaurant when they ask you, do you want to open the wine? And even though the Beis Yosef doesn't even, he brings the Rashba, doesn't bask in it, nonetheless, obviously that's the issue. But anyway, the question over here is that in the middle of a sugya where we're trying to distinguish between the various types of mumrim, to let this go by is simply outrageous. So therefore, Tosfos says two possibilities. He says, look, maybe when it says a mumer lechol chelev and not min adam, you're not going to like this. He doesn't like it too much either. But maybe it means he's a mumer to kol ha'tera kula except dam. So when it says mumer lechelev, I mean chelev and everything else, of course. But the one thing the guy sees eye to eye with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blood.
He's not a vampire.
No, he's not a vampire. Dafka, that's the one thing. Okay, this is a little bit strange, you must admit. So the Rabbeinu Tam has Tosis has another possibility, a very interesting possibility, that the issue over here is bringing the carbon for an eno shav midiato, specifically, whether dam and chelev are the same thing. Because since the Torah puts them together, so this is the issue. Do we view that as a shav midiato or not? So it's kol chelev v'chol dam. Is that the same thing, or do we view it as two completely separate things? Okay. In which case, he's talking about on the thing that he had done. So it's a murmur lo'oto davar. It's as if he's a murmur l'dam. Therefore, he's not shav nidiyato. But it's not that we're being chaylak and we're assuming that you couldn't bring a carver for anything if you were just chayte in that thing. We're understanding that that's what the meaning of shav nidiyato. So here too, we're being mechalak between a murmur lo'oto davar versus a murmur for some other chayt. That's included min abeima. The only place where it might be different, says Tosfos, is the relationship between chaylev and dam. We're over there, even though on the surface doesn't look like the same thing. But since the Torah considers it to be the same attitude that is chelev and dam oriented, it therefore would be considered ainu shav midiyato. Okay, I bring this up just so that we shouldn't get confused in the categories that we've been osek in to so clarify here of the different types of mumrim and Pshayim. Now, the drasha that we had, that we brought a moment ago in Omid Aleph, in which we would include Poshe Yisrael because they are animals. Now, you know that very often we say, it's really insulting to the animals too. So, the question is it always an insult to call somebody an animal, or is it perhaps a compliment? Now, that's a question, toothpaste. So, how do we deal with that? Ask the Gemara. Are you suggesting that when we call somebody an animal, it's a bad thing? There are lots of people that it would be the best thing that ever happened to them to be an animal. Does it not say Adamu Behema Toshia Hashem? And we understand that that means, says Rabbi Yehuda Merav, this is an Adam who is like a Behema. So in other words, this is an Adam on the Madrega of Adam Arishan, who is completely naked in terms of his relationship to reality. So that's Orim, means cleverness. I was playing words back in Gan Eden. Anachash haya Arom, which of course is the meaning of the word pshat, according to the Zohar. Mufshat means taken off your clothes, stripped, naked, so that you see things as they are. And of course, that's the hardest thing in the world to ever achieve. That's what science aims at. Strip all of the phony interpretations that the brain provides us on nature and see the naked truth, is what we talk about it. So Adamu Behema is someone who can see the naked truth and yet believe himself to be a naked truth. He doesn't think anything particular about himself. He sees himself as a phenomenon of nature. So he's an Adam who's like a Behema. So Elo B'nei Adam Shem Arumim B'dat U'Mesimim Atzman K'Behema. They relate to themselves as having had nothing great that I achieved, but like any other Baal Chai, I achieved this because I was created this way. But anyway, it seems to be the greatest Madrega that you can achieve, in which Adam Uveima, then Toshia Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moshiach. So why are we saying that Mikem and Abeima is referring to low-class people that are like animals? No, that's different, because here it writes Adam and Behema together. When it puts Adam and Behema together, then it's taking the best elements of both. That's the point. But, I mean, here, when it comes to the carbon, it doesn't say anything about Adam. It says Min HaBehema. So there, if it's talking about Min HaBehema, then it's referring to the lowest element of Behema, pure Behema. Ha'ka Behema L'chudektiv. I don't think that's a good answer. Because you're saying that the key is whether the word Adam appears, but what do you do with this pasuk? Here it says, "Ine yamim ba'im nuhum Hashem v'zarati et Beit Yisrael v'et Beit Yehuda zera Adam v'zera be'ima." So I am going to plant the Jewish people around the earth, and obviously, as the Gemara is derish, nobody plants unless they want to harvest. So this is planting almanat to bring back much more than you planted. Because otherwise, why waste the seed? So these are seeds that are meant to encourage geirut and assimilation from all of the various nations and so on. But meanwhile, it says, what kind of seeds? Human seeds and animal seeds. Meaning that there's some Jews out there that are a bunch of animals, but I'm planting them also to eventually reap. So, if that's the case, then it must be that it's not Lamal Yuta. And you says if it mentions Adam together, it is Lamal Yuta. No, but over there it says separately, it says Zera Adam v'Zera Behema, not Zera Adam v'Behema. So Hatam HaKalkei Kra, the Torah specifically goes out of its way to call it separately Zera Adam Lachud and Zera Behema Lachud. But when you say Adam v'Behema Toshi Hashem, then you're referring to an Adam / Behema. And that is the greatest ma'ala that you can have. Okay, so now what we've come out with is that the kuti, at least assuming that they are not gerei arayot and they're gerei emet, that as long as we know for a fact that they would eat from the shechita, that would be okay. Or if we know for a fact that the shechita was kosher, somebody was standing there, that would be okay. Perhaps somebody standing, perhaps a mashgiach was yotzei v'nichnas,
But certainly it is possible, everything that we've seen so far, is that the Shechita Bakuti per se, it is possible to find instances in which there would be no problem of eating from it. Omer of Hanan, Omer of Yaakov, Aridi, Omer of Yeshua, and Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, that is perhaps true at one point in history. But subsequently, Rabbi Gamliel Ubeit Dino, Nimnu al Shechitat Kuti v'Asua. Actually, there was a later gezerah that was put into effect by, according to Rashi, Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, so the later Rabbi Gamliel, and this creates a lot of problems that Tosfos brings in terms of the question of whether that Beit Din held that Kuti Margere Arayot, and they're not even kosher Bechlal. There were other things that were already asserted. Maybe this is a reference to Rabbi Gamliel of Yavne, the earlier Rabbi Gamliel, which would have made some sense, but then he's got questions on that. But keep that sugya open. But that's how Rashi explains it. We're talking about the later Rabbi Gamliel, and they made a Shechitas Kusi Osir as if it were shechted by a goy, and therefore it really wouldn't matter if you know for a fact it was a kosher Shechita, and you know for a fact that this guy is eating it. It's simply a gezerah that we do not treat them as Jews. Omle Rabbi Zer or Yaakov are eating. So Rabbi Zer was standing there when he reported this takon of Rabbi Gamliel of Beit Dino, and he said, is it possible that you're confusing the din? And that what Rabbi Gamliel of Beit Dino said was, don't eat a shchitas kusi unless there's a Yisrael Umid Agabov, because they're not marked only for the Iver, and this was just not a new takona, but a establishing the din that we've been taking for granted all along. So isn't it possible, Shema lo Shema Rebbe, perhaps what you had heard was that a shchitas kusi is usher, that's all, meaning, of course, it's usher b'shein Yisrael Umid Agabov. It doesn't mean it's a new gzera. Maybe you're interpreting it as a new gzera. Omar Lay, so he says, boy, this guy's got serious issues. Man, oh man. Maybe we should go back to school. Don't mean I'm your abundant to the Logamiri into Schmeitzer. This guy's like somebody who's walked in here as a 2-year-old and has never learned how to think. I don't understand. What kind of stupid question is that? B'she'ini Yisrael Omeid Agabav. L'meim Raboy, I understand. What are we, idiots? A Bezdin would need to paskin a simple question of logistics. You don't know if we're shechted kosher. So I need a Bezdin to tell me, well, if you don't know if we're shechted kosher, I mean, obviously you need to have an action. Thank you. If I'm telling you that they said it, it means they said it's a kiddush of the Beit Din, which means that it's a new Zera. But this Lameim Rabbi. Now, did Rabbi Zera believe him, or did he still suspect that he got confused? You can insult me all you want, but that's not going to change my opinion. So, kibla mine, o lo kibla mine. Do we know whether Rabbi Zera just shut up because he wanted to avoid a fight, or whether he actually was makabal that there was such a gezerah? Well, Tashma, the Amr of Nachum Ragitzka Amr of Asi, Ani Ra'iti et Rabbi Yochanan Shachal Mishchitat Kuti. I actually saw Rabbi Yochanan eat from the Shechita of a Kuti, and Rav Asi himself was reported to have eaten from a Shechitat Kuti. Now Rabbi Zera heard this, and he said, gosh, what does this mean? Tell you about Rabbi Zera. Now, of course, Rabbi Zera shouldn't have any question about what does this mean. It doesn't mean anything. It means it was a heksher. Somebody had stood there, told him that it was done properly, or gave a piece to eat, and he ate it. Well, what is he sitting there? Gosh, what does this mean? It doesn't mean anything. So, and yet we find Rabbi Zera's thinking, now, does this mean that lo shmi alohu, that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi had never heard the news? That Rabbi Gamliel of Beit Dino asked the Shechita of a Kuti, and they were nichshal in eating something that was asr on Beit Din? And had they heard that gezerah, they would have accepted it? Or might it be that they did know and they rejected it? They didn't accept that takona. Maybe they held that it was a mistake, that either that there was never any such gezerah, and that the reporting of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Edi and Rabbi Shuv and Levi and Bar Kapor was mistaken, or that subsequently the gezerah hadn't been mekubalet, which is the din if Rov of Etzibur can't be emet in it, or if it didn't spread within the first 12 months, it becomes batal. I don't know, but I don't understand. what actually happened. Did they simply not know, or did they know but refuse to agree? And then he said to himself, oh, that wasn't a question. Obviously, they must have heard and rejected it, because the alternative is that they didn't hear. And if they had heard, they wouldn't have eaten. But that would have meant that they were nichshal and eating something that they held was usher. So because if you're going to interpret this as saying that, well, they didn't know, but had they known, then they wouldn't have eaten it, how would it ever have happened that they would have eaten something that had they had the facts, they wouldn't have eaten? I mean, if even the animals of tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow to be nichshal in Isser, as we're going to see these stories coming up, tzaddikim atzman lo kol shekein. So the tzaddikim themselves are going to be nichshal in eating Isurim. Now Tosfos points out, obviously tzaddikim sin all the time. I mean, we have the story of Rabbi Shmuel, was Karav Ahita, and he was Bechal Shabbos, and he read a book on Shabbos, and he forgot, he turned on the light. They said, I'm going to bring a korban when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt. And the whole story of the murder of an Eid Zomim, where it was only one Eid Zomim, and you were over on murder. I mean, what do you mean? You don't make mistakes. What is it, the infallibility of the Pope? So Tosfos says, no, whenever it says this, it's only in terms of eating. Because eating is something that is internal and is a gnai. So to found out, it's a gnai for a Talmud Chacham to be eating tarfas. What is that? We fed Rebbe a McDonald's sandwich, but he didn't know. I mean, it's disgusting. So that got his Baruch Hu's matzil.
Is that?
What? Yeah, whatever. All of the issues of the reason that they would be nitzal from something like that is, but that's because it's food. It's not because they're nitzal from ever sinning. I mean, that's already a question. There's hagona, terrorists, megin. Mitzvahs are megin, but I mean, it's not no guarantee a guy's not going to make a mistake, obviously. So, okay, but getting back to it. So, if even the chamor of Rapinchas ben Yoyer was careful, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that it wouldn't eat something that his master would have misered, so then it's kosher king. Must be that they knew about it and rejected it, and therefore to them it was an usher. I mean, maybe we don't possibly like them, but obviously a person is allowed to eat whatever he holds as kosher to eat. They would have held it's kosher to eat. Now, getting back to our circuit, I mean, if Lamaisa Rabbi Zera had never believed that there was such a gezerah, I mean, this whole thing is a joke. He should have said, see, I always knew there was no such a gezerah. It was only because there was no hechsher. And he got confused, thinking that it was a new gezerah, even if we know it's kosher, it's not kosher. So clearly, says the Gemara, he saw it, lo kibla. If Rabbi Zera had never believed Rabbi Yaakov that the meaning of Rabbi Gamliel's Beit Din was to have ushered it even when there is a good hechsher, so then he should have just said to himself, well, what's the problem? After all Rabbi Gamliel said was, as I had suggested originally to Rabbi Yaakov, who made fun of me, and I had told him that maybe all he meant was Kishen Yisrael Eimed Agavav, so he should have said to himself, you see, I was right, I told you. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi ate kosher shkita of Akuti. Rabbi Yaakov believes that there's no such thing, and that's his problem. But certainly it doesn't bother me, because I never believed it. So you see from here, so he should have said, since he did not say that to himself, and instead went into this whole metaphysical discussion about how they could possibly have eaten something, or would they have eaten it had they known. So obviously, he did accept the fact that he was wrong in questioning Rabbi Yaakov's report about Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino. So Shmamina, Kibla Mine, Shmamina. Now, as to what the basis is of the whole story, there's very mysterious issues going on. That we shall see, Bezrat Hashem, on Motzei Shabbat at 9:30. Imbal Nefesh. My Orvim, Omer Avina, Orvim Mamash. Omele Ravada Barmin Yumbi, Vidumatri Gavri, Davishmayo Orev, huh? Milotiva Yargu et Orev, Bitsur Orev et Zaid. Omele, right. It just so happened. Idramoy Milta Zavaya Avishmayo Orvi. Sounds more likely that it's birds. Well, I don't know. But Dilma Al Shemekoman? Miloktiva Ram Yatsuge Dudimba Yishboom Eretz Israel Naara Ketana Vekashilan Korele Aksi Vekorele Moran. Which one is it? Omer of Padat, it means a ketana to mean nu'urim. Nah, but if that's the case, you should have said Orvinimi Boile. Lema Misael. Hakol Shachatim Vafilu Kutiva Filu Orel Vafilu Yisrael Mumar. Hai Orel Echidami. I Lema Shemetu Echav Machmat Mila. Hai Yisrael Ma'oyu. Elepshita Mumar La Relut. Ein Basef Vafilu Yisrael Mumar. So now what's that? Echidami. I Mumar La Dover Echad. And Mumar La Relut. What's left? Mumar La Vodat Kochim Kerevanan. No, not be told. There's the other choice. What then is the real option? Ella Mumerlo Todavar Ukidarava. We're over there. Lo Shava Keterabiakalisura. Make thee against Ravanan Mikem Velokuchem. Lo see it hamumar, but only Mikem. Bachem chilakti velo b'umot min habehima. That's lavi bnei adam shedomim labehima. Mikan amru mekablin korbanot miposhei Yisrael kidei sheyachzeru behem b'teshuva. Chutz min amumer umanasech atayayin mechalel Shabbat Shabbatot b'farhes. Now how a gufakasha? You start off saying machem velo kocham lotzi et amum. Then you say mekablin korbanot poshei Yisrael. Now that doesn't bother me so much because then halakasha. You could say the reish is mum lechalotar akula, and the mitziatar is a mum ledover echad. Great. But now, what do you do with the sefer? Chutz min hamumer, umenasech atayayin umachalal Shabbat b'fares ya. Now, what does this mumer mean? If it's a mum lechalotar akula, we already said that in the reish. If it's a mum ledover echad, you just said that that's okay. Kasha mitziatar. El alav, the only explanation is, that we are defining a mumer lekalatayra kula if he's a mumer lenasechet hayayin lechalel Shabbatot b'faresya. In which case, why are we defining him as a mumer lekalatayra kula? Just say we don't accept it. The point is that that is a mumer lekalatayra kula. So then how would Rav Anan be correct and that we would be able to eat a shechita? Alma mumer levadat kochavim avim mumer lekalatayra kula uti yufta de Rav Anan bin tiyufta. Question is, do we not learn it out from the parish of the Chatat? Mihatam Nafka. May Ama Oretz Prat Lemumar. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yosi Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Asher Lote Asena Bishka Gavi Hashem. Only, and then it says, essentially. Oh, Hodai Lav Chatato. Hashav Mi Diato Mevi Korban Al Shigiato. Eino Shav Mi Diato Mevi Korban. Eino mevi korban al shigato. V'amrinan, is there any difference effectively? Yes. Mai b'nai omer avu nuna mumer lako chelev. Mevi korban al adami ke b'nai. But anyway, do we not here have a completely redundant limud of me ama aretz, which is the same thing as me kem? No, of course not. Chodeba chatat v'chodeba olam v'tzricha. V'yash mele chatat, okay. The guy is bringing a kapora. We will not accept it. But Eilo, which is only a doron. Fine, let's bring a gift. And bring a gift. Put in a pile over there on the left. Thank you. V'yashmin an ola, temishim delav chiyuvelu. But a chatat, which is a chiyuva, he's got enough benefit from being a bigger bum. Let him pay his money. So chatat et chiyuva, and a kabel amine. Tzrich. Now, kol eche dechti beima, you're making it sound like it's bad to be an animal. V'aktiv Adam uveimato shi Hashem v'yom rabir omarav elu b'nei Adam she'in arumim b'da'at u'besimnin atzman ki veima. Yep, that's because it says Adam uveima. But here it just said mina beima. That's beima lo chudektiv. So you're telling me kolech dektiv Adam uveima, then it is good. What about v'zarati et beit Yisrael zera Adam v'zera beima? Well, Atam hachalkei kro into two separate sets. Zera Adam lachud v'zera Beima lachud. This is all very nice, all only up until the time of Galil Beit Dino, that if you had a heksher, you gave him a piece to eat, you could eat it. But came along Rabbi Galil Beit Dino and Nimnu Ashkitat Kuti Viasrua. Is it possible that maybe what you heard was Gesheini Solo Meir Agabab? Oh, Mala, is it possible? Dummy, I'm a Rabban Kalogamirin and Shmaitada. Gesheini Solo Meir Agabab, the name Rabbi? Kiblamine Olo, Kiblamine Toshma. Yabra Nachma Yitzchom Ravasi. Ani Raitit Rab Yochanan. Shiachal Mishkitat Kuti. Afrabasi. Achal Mishkitat Kuti. The Toiba Rabizera. Is it that Losha Mielahu? Diabi Shmielahu Mekablila? Or perhaps indeed Shmielahu, but they don't care because they disagree. Veloki Blua, or the Poshul Nashua, Mistabra, the Shmielahu Veloki Blua. The Isaac Losha Mielahu. The Havi Shmielahu, Avi Mekablila, Hechi Mistaya Milta, Lamechali Sura. Hashtabem Tanshat Sadikim, Enakadosh Borchum Evit Takala Yadan. Tzadikin atzman lo kosheke, ve'isak adatech lo kiblamine, lishnele, kan kishisra lo medagabab, kan kishenisra lo medagabab, elalav shmamina, kiblamine, shmamina.
That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. Okay. Okay, we're holding on that Yomidala. We're in the middle of the Shita of Rav Onan, who holds that a Mumer, Laveris Kechavim, is a kosher for Shita. He brought a raya yesterday from the story of Achav and Yehoshaphat, and since he proved that Yehoshaphat, at least to his own satisfaction, that Yehoshaphat and Achav must have been in a state of great chavivus with one another, because it says Kigoran, they were sitting in the same format as the Sanhedrin, they were sitting with each other and sharing with each other, and so on. It must be that he ate the Shvita, and since Akhav was a Murmur Lava Iskafovim, it's clear that such a Shvita is kosher. That's what we get up to. So we're holding now on Daf Hey Amid Aleph at the Sugya Lema Misayele. Lema Misayele is about a quarter of the way down. The Ha'orvim Neviim Lo Lechem Ubasar Baboker Velechem Ubasar Ba'erev. Now it says that when Elio ran away, the Orvim, which I assume means birds, crows, would bring him food in the morning, this included Basar, and they would bring him food in the evening, Basar again. He was on an Atkins diet. The Omer of Yeramarab, the Beitakti de Akov, that the place where these Orvim got the food was they would go in through the window into Akov's kitchens and take the food out of the kitchen, fly over, and bring it to Eliyahu. So how was he able to eat it? It must be that it's kosher. Says the Gemara, "Oh, yeah, people are shiny." I mean, come on. I mean, if God sends it to you, so I mean that means. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him the Farish that es orvim tziviti sham l'kol
kolecha, an approved hechsher.
That's a pretty good hechsher for most people. No, that's true.
There's always the levyata,
and it's fish for those who don't hold the back of the Baruch Shvita. So therefore, you can't bring a raya from here. This is a very interesting lomda shadia, in which it does his tainas according to the what we originally held, that it wasn't al piyat divos. Even if you hold that shvita is kosher v'kusi, it's still boser shenadalim v'na'ayin. If you hold according to Mar Yomar, it's boser shenadalim v'na'ayin, then it's v'yikar adinos. How did the Gemara understand it? So that says that the Gemara understood the pashtus. If the Baruch Hu told him, "I'm sending you meat," of course that's the meat that is kosher. But the assumption was that that's the meat that is kosher, not that's the meat that's usually not kosher, but I'm telling you, you're allowed to eat it.
Then the Gemara is saying, maybe Al Pi HaDibur Shani means maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to eat non-kosher meat. So that Be'etz HaMishchita would not be kosher for anybody else. In this particular case, it was a Hashem told them, I'll say, Rosh Hashanah,
you can eat it. Hashem would go ahead and follow.
Yes, that's what he's saying. That's the first level. We didn't think that it meant that it was you could eat something that he didn't say. It wasn't kosher. My Orvin, when we say these Orvin, what exactly are Orvin? Now that depends, of course, if you're a chosen or a misnagid. So Elmer Avina, why not birds? These crows. That's the Hasidish approach. The Snagdish approach is the Trey Gabri, that was Shmai Orvim. There's two guys by the name of Orev, and they're together. You've got the Orvim. They're bringing you. I mean, I don't understand. Why are we turning this into something miraculous and strange? There's a simple explanation. Right? Or they maybe they were both on the same team, the Orvim. You know, the Orvim were bringing them. What do you say? You say the Orioles were bringing in. The little birdies flying in?
The Baltimore Ravens?
Right? Exactly. It is the Baltimore Ravens. You're right. There you go. It wasn't by coincidence that I brought up the Orioles. Okay, so why do we have to turn this into some kind of miracle story? So it was two guys by the name of Orvin. And we know that that was a Tanakhi name. It says, Miloksiva Yargut Orev, Bitsur Orev, Bezeev. I mean, we've got these people called Orev. Well, maybe they were both called Orvin then. Omarle, Yisrami, Milzit, the Tarvayu, Avishmai, Orvin. Isn't it a little strange that God says, well, send the Orvin. You know, the two guys, Orvin. I mean, you know, Orvin means birds. I mean, why would you say that God coincidentally chose two guys by the name of Orev? Okay, so maybe it means Orvin from the town of Orvin. The town of Orev. People who come from Orev are called Orvin. So therefore, he's saying, yes, I'll send to Yerushalmi to take care of you. So the town that was Tsurore, we just thought it was such a town. The town of Tsurore was nearby, so I'll send two Orvin to take care of you without mentioning their names. So Dim Al Shem Mekomam. And we know that people are called Al Shem Mekomam even as, notice, obviously if you're talking about the group as a whole, Mitzrayim, Moab, Mitzrayim, I mean that, but even if you have two people or one person, you could call him like they do in the you know, the yeshivas, European yeshivas. You call them by the name of a city. Yeah. So they were called by the name of Binokshiv. I mean, we find it on Avos. Aram Yatzu Gedudim Vayishbu Me'eretz Yisrael Na'ara Ketana. Now, how can there's no such thing as a Na'ara Ketana? I mean, if you're a Na'ara, you're not a Ketana. If you're a Ketana, you're not a Na'ara. So, what is it supposed to mean? The Kashon Karela Na'ara, the Karela Ketana. So Reb Pedas explains, we know there was a town called Ne'uran, Na'aran, says in the Pasuk. So it means a little girl from Na'aran. So she was a Na'ara Kitana. So that means that if you're an Orev, then you come from the town of Orev. If there's two of you, then you're Orvim. So why do we make it into birds? Because Im Kein Orvimi Ba'aleh. Because of the confusion, even though very often, as Tosfos points out, we do find, I mean, it says Mitzrayim with one yud, Mitzrayim, Ibrahim, it does not say Ibrahim, Mitzrayim. But over here, since it's confusing, you want to make sure people don't make a mistake and think that the Torah is saying that there were birds flying around and bringing in food. So therefore, it should have said the double yud if that was the case. Since it doesn't, therefore I conclude that it actually means birds. In any event, getting back to the Gemara, which really is not particularly concerned with birds, it's considered concerned with Mumrin Lavas Kefavim, and the Shilas. So from here, we don't have to buy him, because it's Alpi HaDibur. So let's see if we can bring the proof from the following. Akol Shochatim, we had our bright and said Akol Shochatim, Afilu Kusi, Afilu Arel, Afilu Yisrael Mumrin. Now, last time we tried to bring this as a riot to Rava, who holds that mumr lo to davar is mumr lo kol nevelot, and nonetheless it's mutr lo kol mishkitato as long as lo shavik teira ve'ala yisur v'achal yisur. So you give him a knife, he'll shuck with it properly. Here we want to bring a riot. Of course, there the way the rabba was dope for the riot is he said, well, maybe that
the way the Gemara was talking about is that maybe that's talking about a Mumala Vedas Kachorma. So indeed, this is the Raya that we want to bring over here. When it says an Aral, what does an Aral mean? That what? Ile Meshemetu Echav Machmat Mila. Is it talking about his brother's vice? Obviously, I mean, how you throw Malian? That can't be what it's telling me, that you're allowed to eat for the Shechit of someone who's an Aral and a perfectly kosher Jew. Elop Shita, it's got to be talking about a gentleman who refuses to get a Brit Milah, so then he's a Mumar La Relut. You're telling me a Mumar La Relut has no problem, that we're still allowed to do a Shechit. Okay, so then when it goes on and says, Ema Seifa, a few of Yisrael Mumar, you're even allowed to eat the Shechit of Yisrael Mumar. What type of Mumar is that, if you tell me? E Mumar La Dabar Achad. If it's a Mumar for one particular issue, the guy who doesn't come to Daf Yomi. So what? I keep doing that. No, but I do it for a reason. Because we tend to consider Mumar as being a guy, I mean, he's a person who's over Peshat Nefesh and Ma'at. That's not the Peshat. A Mumar is somebody to whom a particular mitzvah of the Torah essentially doesn't exist. I don't think about that mitzvah. I don't care about that mitzvah. That is a Mumar of the Rafa. Somebody who simply isn't concerned to daven. It's not concerned. It's not such a mitzvah. He's a mummer. He may only be a mummer for that issue, but he's considered to be a mummer. And this would be true in any small issue. No. Not even. Yeah. Just like over here, there's plenty of reasons not to want to get circumcised. It's not exactly a pleasant operation.
But at the age of 8 days, you have to be pretty well advanced.
Obviously, we're talking about an older person who, for some reason, didn't have a quiz as a child.
Yeah.
You know, now, I mean, otherwise, quiz is not a movie. It depends. If his reaction to the Rabbanan is there's no mitzvah to listen to the Rabbanan. I mean, the truth is that there's a Makokas Achronim, and it possibly we shouldn't, that's how you learn about whether if the guy would like to get a bris, but he just is terrified, is he still considered to be a mummer? But if not, I mean, then we would have two levels that the Gemara would have had to talk about. Mummer for someone that's not Loteyova and then a Mummer. Okay. In any event, before we have a Raya over here that's a different type of Mummer, and the different type of Mummer would have to be a Mummer Labadiska Chavin Kiravana. So would we tell him Yeravana's Halacha, namely that even a Mummer Labadiska Chavin, not only a Mummer Zavarecha like the Mummer Labadiska, it would be kosher for Shita, and this is the Gemara, maybe not. It's possible that a Mummer Labadiska Chavin would not be acceptable. Because, as we have learned, the Avamar Chamurah, that Tochavim Shikala Kofir Bakum Adeb Chalat Torah Kula, anybody who would be Kofir Averis Tichovim is the equivalent of believing in Kala Torah Kula, and the opposite is also like somebody's Kofir Averis Zorah, so it's like he's being Kofir Bakala Torah Kula, therefore, Mumal Averis Tichovim would be considered a Mumal Kala Torah Kula and would not be acceptable for Shechita because he would have a din of a goy. What then is the additional Mumar who is not the Mumar, just a double effort? Oh! It would be Ella Mumalo Todavar, the guy who eats at McDonald's, and would be coming to tell me, Kidarava, the Kiddushin, that even though you might think that to him it's considered to be Heter Gomer, and therefore we don't say the Kala Losha Veketer of Akali Sura, and he would even eat Isra, but he doesn't care, it was convenient, inconvenient, therefore wouldn't help to be making the Sakin for him, and give him a Sakin, Kamash Vana, of course. In other words, to bring a riot to Rava would go for maybe it's Ravana. To bring a riot to Ravan and Radoka, maybe it's Rav, because we don't know what the additional case of Mumra over here is, because we have three categories. Mumla Dabraha, Mumla Todavar, and Mumla Khalatarakula. Amazing. And we have a problem with Ravana, who claims that a Mumla Avariz Yikomim is Karshal Shechita from the following. We know that it says the Gavi Korban is Adam Ki Akriv Michem Korban Lashem. So Michem comes to tell me Michem, from you, but not all of you, Velo Kulchem. Not everybody can bring a korban. And that is Lahotzi et Hamumar. A Mumar cannot bring a korban. We will not accept a korban from a Mumar. However, since the Torah makes this distinction over here in the Parsha of Adam Ki Yakriv Michem, and not in the Parsha where it says Ish, Ish, we make Yisrael Asher Yakriv Korban, and we learn out from the extra Ish that even an Akum can bring a Korban. So over there it should have said, Mi Ha'adam,
but doesn't.
So clearly it's not a limitation on a Goy. A Goy who is a Mummer can bring a Korban. A Jew who is a Mummer cannot bring a Korban. So let's say a Goy worships Avodas Kohanim. We will accept the Korban from him. But a Jew who is committed to Avodas Kohanim, we will not accept the Korban from him. A Goy is a Mummer. He has seven mitzvahs. If he's good for his mitzvahs, he's a Mummer. Mina Beima, when it says from the Beima, it's a continuation of Michem, that you can bring even from a Behema a Korban. Now, how do you bring from a Behema? I understand if you bring from another, Michem. But Mina Beima means an animal can bring a Korban. These mean people that are essentially animals. So Min HaAdam should domim the Behema. So if you have a guy who looks human, but he's really an animal, he can also bring a Korban. Mikan Amru, Mikablin Korbanot Miposhei Yisrael, Kadeshi Yachzeru Behem B'Teshuvah. From here they said, you see that you can be Makabal a Korban from a Poshea. A Poshea, somebody does things on purpose, right? And that's what it's called. A Pesha is merit. So he's obviously doing it B'Dakka. The reason we're Makabal is Kadeshi Yachzeru B'Teshuvah, which is strange to say. It's actually just from a Pesach. When you say Kadeshi Yachzeru B'Teshuvah, what do we do? Durish time of the crow over here. Is that going a little bit of Rabbi Shimon? So Tosis explains we're not being Dorish time of the cross. We're coming to explain why we would view the drasha of Mina Beima to be valued, to be learned in this fashion, where it's to an extent it's chaylik on the previous word, because over there it says not to accept from a mummer, instead of learning that it means something else. So what is the most reasonable application? I always need to know the reasonable application. If I can distinguish between a mummer who is likely to be affected l'teiva by a korban and a mummer who isn't, then that gives me a reason. It's a dorish mina beima. Chutz mina mummer again. Oh my God, this is really confusing. So it starts off saying, not from a mummer. Then it says, yes, from a poshea, but not from a mummer. I mean, that can't be the same mummer, of course. And from someone who's menatik as hayayin or bakal shabbos v'parhesi. Now, first of all, gufakasha. Before we get to the implications of Rav Anna, what is the brisa talking about? You say first bichem v'lo kulchem. That's what it is a mummer. Then you say, but mekavim korbanot miposhei Yisrael. So how do you explain that? Do the poshei Yisrael another way? Obviously, it doesn't mean you can be mekavim korban for somebody who did something wrong. I mean, everybody does something wrong. So miposhei Yisrael is a pshat that he is willing to accept the fact that he does something wrong. Okay, then he's a mummer. So how do you explain that? So that we'll have to say, obviously, halokasha. Reisha, where it says that you're not allowed to accept a korban from such an individual as a mummer, it's talking about a mummer l'chalat erakulah. Whereas mitziyata, the middle case where it says, but mekavim mi Yisrael, poshea Yisrael, it's talking about a mummer l'davar echad. Okay, so then now let's stick with the sefer. You can be mekabel from a poshea who is essentially a mummer, if it's a davar echad, chutz min ha-mummer. Now, what is that supposed to be referring to? Explain that. I'm mummer yekadami. Now what are we talking about? Elam, if it's talking about the mummer that we said before, that it's a mummer l'kolatayr kula, well, that was the first case. I erase it. It cannot be makabel. You said that already. You only repeat it. If it's a mummer l'dabar echad, I thought you just said you can be makabel l'kolatayr mummer l'dabar echad, you're calling him a poshe Yisrael. So it can't be referring to that. El alav. The only way to understand it is this is one statement. A mummer l'chalalet ha-shabbos or l'natzech es hayayin is not roi to bring a korban because he's the equivalent of a mummer l'chalalet ha-rakula, which we excluded from michim, and that's the opposite of what Rav Anan is saying. Right? That's the opposite of Rav Anan. Rav Anan said that a mummer l'avodas kochavim is not considered to be a mummer l'chalalet ha-rakula, gabi being like a goy. In Shechita. And here, clearly the additional case is saying that he is. So now we have another category. We have a mumla davar achad. We have a mumla tova davar. And then we have a mumla chalala shabbat and or avodat kochavim, which has the same din as a mumla chalala tarakula, according to this price. What's Rav Anan going to do with this? Mumla avodat kochavim happened. Indeed, Rav Anan is over. So we do not have a heter to eat from shchita of a mumen of eskecha. But wait, now that you bring it up, is this really where we know the halakha that you're not makabel a carbon from a mumen? V'homihacha nafka, mehasam naf. I thought that we learned the din of not being makabel a carbon from a mumen from the following. Me'am ha'aretz prat l'mumen. So, it says over here, Agabi the din of Korban Chatas, Ohodai Lo Chatas, so and so on. So if he's Me'am Ha'aretz, it means only Me'am Ha'aretz. But if he is not Me'am, if he's someone who is different than the other Am Ha'aretz, and what does that mean? Prat L'mumer. So if it's someone who's a mumer, we will not accept a carbon for him. Now what do we need Lechem for? Or it says we won't accept a carbon. Rabbi Shimon bar Yosi Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Actually, it's obvious that you cannot accept a carbon from a mumer because it says in the parsha of the carbon itself, Asher lo te'atzena bishkaga v'yashem, that only if he would not do it, in other words, it was done bishkaga, and then he became guilty because of his mistake, which implies, by the way, there's two ways of understanding this. The way it's generally read is hashav miyadiyato, someone who would have turned around. So it's essentially in a state of tshuva, as we saw in the other Gemara. He would have turned around and not done it had he known it was Osir. He just didn't know it was Osir. But Rashi brings the gears to the Raskonim as hayoshev. In other words, he would have remained passive. He would not have done the act. So then it would be that it was not hashav miyadiyato, but rather hashev miyadiyato. He's sitting. But in any event, it means someone who would not have done what he did, maybe korban hashigato. But if he's not eno shav miyadiyato, if he's someone who wouldn't be shav, eno would be korban hashigato. So that tells us that if he was a mumer, then he would not be able to bring a korban because he wouldn't be shav miyadiyato. Now we explained over there. There's a clear difference between the two pshatim. My benayu, the omer of abnun. The difference between the two pshatim would be mumer la'chol chelev. Behavi korban al adam ikevinayu. In other words, the shav miyadiyato simply tells us that if at the time he would not have done this avera, then we could accept the korban from him. Mashenka the Tanakama's approach is that if he's a mumer, even if he wouldn't have done this particular avera, because he doesn't eat dam, but he eats chelev, so he wouldn't have eaten dam, nonetheless he can't accept the korban from him because he is a mumer. Correct? By the way, Tosis points out, I mean, the Gemara is actually very strange because it's accepting, as a matter of course, something that seems to be saying the exact opposite of what we just said. The Gemara is claiming that we know the din of mumer from here. But the mumer here is entirely different from the mumer we just had. We said before that a mumer l'dover echad, you can accept the karma. And here you're taking for granted, without any protest, that a mumer for chelev is allowed to bring a carbon, it would not be allowed to bring a carbon for dam because it's mumla davaraka, but we just said a mumla davaraka can bring a carbon. So not only is this not another source, it's a contradiction. What in the world is the Gemara talking about? There's two approaches that Tosafos has for this. One is, the Rabbeinu Tam learns, it's talking over here, when it says mumla lechelev, it means the chatas chelev. Chatas chelev is a way in which we refer to all chatos. Because chelev is the place where we learn out the dinim of all the chatos. So it's always used chatas chelev as opposed to chatas nash. So it means the mumer l'chol ha'aretz kula except for dam. Except for one particular thing. That's what it's implying. So you would not be able to bring a korban on that one particular thing that you wouldn't have done. That's one approach. Now you could also say that over here, it's unique, says Tosafos, because chelev and dam, dafka, the issue over here is that it's considered to be one thing, because the issue of chelev and dam are brought in the same part. It's called chelev, the whole dam, loto chelev. The basis of the issue is its relationship to korbanot. It's clearly the same idea. This is for the mizbeach, not for you, and so on. And therefore, the question over here isn't whether he's a mumer l'chalat or kula, but rather is a mumer l'oto davar. And that's what we're saying is the difference between the two. Is if it's a shav midiyato, lamaisi would be a shav midiyato because he doesn't need dam. If it's considered to be that he's not a mummer, he's a mummer, it's not me'am haaretz, so then we wouldn't accept it, even if it's something that he would not have done had he known, he would not have eaten the don. He still can't bring the carbon because he would have eaten the tailor. So there's two different approaches. Either it's an assumption that he is a mumr, or Chela Vadam is considered to be a mumr lo todavar. But in any event, getting back to the system. So now, the Gemara is bothered by the fact that when it came to showing that Rav Hanan was wrong, we had the mocker for a mumr not bringing a carbon was Adam ki akriv miken. And now, when it comes to this halacha, we have a mocker for a mumr from me'am ha'aretz ba'asota. Me'am ha'aretz and not all of the Amaretz, to exclude a mumr. Why do we have this other source? Answers the Gemara very simply, because chodah b'chatat v'chodah b'olah. Remember the previous one was talking about the opening of Vayikra. Adam ki yakriv mikem korban la'Hashem is nedava. Olah. Okay, the dove is one thing. Here, we're talking about Amaretz ba'asota. It's a reference to a korban chatas. There's the difference between the two. Because, I'll tell you why, if it's real. The Torah would have told us that somebody who is a mumer cannot bring a chatas. I would have said, okay, he can't bring a chatas. The reason that he can't bring a chatas is because a person like that does not really shy it to kapora because he's a sinner. And he's not interested in tikkun. And you have to be interested and committed to tikkun in order to get a kapora. But, I mean, to bring a gift. So bring a gift. No, there's a doron. Why can't you bring a gift? Kamashmalan, you can't even bring a gift. So doron, emalakab. Says the emalakab. I mean, I would have said, you can't accept a gift from him. The Yashminin Olah that had told us, on the other hand, after the other case of Adam Kiyakrim Yichem, which tells us that he cannot bring an oila, I would have said, Mishum Dalav Kiyuva. That's because, okay, listen. We're not interested in people doing what they don't have to do if they're not on a madrega to accept their gift. I don't take gifts from anybody. You're no good, Nick. I don't want your gift. But on the other hand, if you're high of a carbon, all right, then what can you do? You're high of it. It's the same thing. A guy who is a Russia, he shouldn't doubt it because God doesn't like him. But it's a chiyuv. What are you going to say? I'm not going to daven. I have a chiyuv to daven. If it would say in the Shulchan Aruch, I'm not supposed to daven, I won't daven. Okay, so I need to know that I'm not supposed to daven. So chatas chiyuvu emalakabel mina. I would think to be makabel the carbon chatas from him. Therefore, tzricha. Very good. By the way, there is a side point over here. We know that in general, because I just raised the issue, if Lamaisa, you're a Rasha, so why would we think that you could daven? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to hear your tefila? As the Rambam says, he would rip the tefillah up and throw it back in your face. The same thing is true of carbon. It says the prayers, Zevach Rasha'im Toivah. So why do I need a pasuk to tell me that you can't bring it? It's not a kosher carbon, that's a Zevach Rasha'im. The Tosfos says this discussion. No. Zevach Rasha'im is an individual. So Tosfos says that over here, the case over here is not that I thought that a Russia would be able to bring the carbon. Talking about that the guy now was Chazer B'Tshuva. And at this point, he's no longer a Rasha. But at the time that he ate it, he wouldn't have been a Shavmi in the Yeto. That's the point. So now he's a Tzadik. He wants to bring his carbon. But he can't bring his carbon because he was not a Shavmi in the Yeto. So even though Lamaisi did it for Shogay, but even had he known what it was, he would have done it anyway. So he's saying, okay, Baruch Hashem, I did it for Shogay, though. And now I'm a guy that wants kapora, so I should be able to bring a carbon. Kamashmon and Shabbi Vieto and not an Eno Shabbi Vieto, yeah? So there would still be grounds for the need for that drush. Anyway, you said before that Mina Be'ima means the kind of person who's an animal. So what makes a person an animal? I mean, you're saying, well, he's a poshea. Isn't that insulting to animals? I mean, is it really as to the Gemara B'Kalechad Ksi Be'im Agriyuta? What, it's a bad thing to be an animal? You're telling me wherever it talks about a behemoth and it's comparing people to animals, it's bad? I mean, how about when we dash in the pasuk, Adamu Be'imah Toshi Hashem? So over there, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, you know what this is referring to? Adam means, we don't call every person Adam. An Adam is a big person, like Adam Rishon. Ish, Enosh, but not another. So an adam means elu b'nei adam shein arumim b'da'at. These are people who are chokhmadik in wisdom and understanding, but nonetheless, like a marisha. But nonetheless, they treat themselves like animals. Nesimim atzman kebeima, meaning they remain uncomplicated, without gaiva, accept the tzivoy Hashem, and look at life. This is the way it is, exactly the way a behemah looks at life. So they're not stuck up. They make themselves like animals. So it's you're saying that the pasuk is using the word animal as a mila, not as a chisaron. The good part about animals, if a human being can be as an animal is, he's a very in a good position. So why is it that before we said mina behemah is a bad thing? You should be happy to be like an animal. There it says adam uvehimah, where it says adam uvehimah together, so then the behemah is something good. But if it says mina behemah alone, so then a behemah lefudei, that's bad. Oh, no. So now you're telling me wherever it says adam uvehimah, it's good? Halecha dechtiv adam uvehimah vayutei, it's good. Vaksiv vizarati et beit Yisrael zera adam vizera behemah. So over there, God is talking about, the Gemara says that the Zera Behemah referring to over there is someone who never learned, and he was never Mishamish to Mir HaKomim, he doesn't know Nikra, he doesn't know Mish, he's like an animal. So Zerati is basically Yisrael. Nonetheless, I will plant them to grow, and ultimately something will come of them. But it's certainly not a Mila, and over there it does say it in the context of Adam. So why do we understand it over there as meaning something bad? Well, that's because over there we separated. Zera Adam lochot v'zera behema lochot. If it would have said Zera Adam u'behema, then it would have been a marla. But if it says Zera Adam zera behema, so then it's a reference to the bad part of the behema, not the good part of the behema that relates to the Adam to which it's connected. Om Reb Chanan, Om Reb Yaakov Baridi, Om Reb Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapora. This is all theoretical. Because even if you hold that the Mishnah would be talking about initially that the Shechita of Akuti was the hidden thing in our Mishnah, which Abaye and Rava were willing to entertain, nonetheless it is no longer meaningful in the Halacha. Because Rabbi Gamliel Ubeit Dino, Nimnu Ashchitat Kuti Asrua, nonetheless Rabbi Gamliel, the child of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and therefore this was after the Mishnah, the Mishnah was talking indeed about a kuti and was saying it was mutter. It was talking about that it's mutter. But afterwards, there was a bezdin that came and asked shchitat kuti and gave them a din of goyim. And you not allow you to eat it, even where Yisrael is omer agav. Omer Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Shema lo shama Rabbi, ela b'shein Yisrael omer agav. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, who had repeated this, was asked by Rabbi Zeira, sir, maybe what you heard was that Rabbi Gamliel ushered the eating of Shchitas Kuti when there was no Jew available looking at him. Which, of course, we would have agreed to, because that was the hidden variable in the mission, Sholem in Agab. Omar Leis, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said, this kid is a jerk. I don't understand. This is supposed to be somebody who's already in college. It looks like he doesn't have any background. What am I, crazy? I would have to tell you the din if there's no Yisrael Oymed Al-Gaba. Nobody suggested that you need from the Shchitas Kuti for any Yisrael Oymed Al-Gaba. The only question was whether you can eat a Shchitas Kuti if Yisrael is Oymed Al-Gaba. And therefore the only possible point that I was making was that it doesn't help for Yisrael to be Oymed Al-Gaba. Why? Because they gave it a din of a Shchitas of an Akum. That was the point that I was making. Indeed. I mean, what was Rabbi Zera thinking? It's a pretty silly question, it seems to be. So the Achron HaMagdor is very simple what he was questioning. His question was, it could be that the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino was that although we had a fallback position, namely, that you can give him a piece of meat and see if he'll eat from it, and that would be sufficient raya, that the Bezdin was misaking that you cannot eat from a Shchitas Kuti. Period. Unless you thought it was Eimer Agava. But we don't allow any kind of subsequent checking on the subject. Anyway, keep Lamine. I mean, yes, Rabbi Zera got hit over the head, but does that mean that he accepted it, or did he basically say, well, you know, I know better. Toshma, the Omer of Nachum Yitzchak, Omer Reb Asi, Ani Ra'iti, et Rebbe Yochanan She'achal Mishchitat Kuti. I can tell you that I saw myself, Rebbe Yochanan, eating meat that a kuti had shechted, and Reb Asi himself ate from a shechitat kuti, based on this. Now, this was certainly not a badat hechsher, so they were making a point of this. Now, the question is, Rebbe Zera, when he heard this from the Nachum Yitzchak, he thought to himself, tell you about Rebbe Zera, remember, this is the same Rebbe Zera that just got balls out from Rebbe Yaakov Baridi, right? So Rebbe Zera said, she, is it that Lo Shemielu, was that Rebbe Yochanan and Rebbe Asi did not hear what Rebbe Yaakov Baridi said, namely that Rebbe Gamliel Beis Dino Asa Chitas Kursi? But if they had heard about it, Yah Bishmielu having Makabala, they would have been Makabala Halacha, they would never have eaten a Chitas Kursi, because they would have said it's not kosher. Oh, Dilma Shemielu, maybe they did hear. But Lo Kiblura, they didn't accept it. They held that he's wrong, or that the Gezer was never Makabala, or whatever. Hara Pashit Lanavshe, then he said, oh my God, it's obvious. For sure they heard about it and didn't accept it. Because the Isakadathar Lo Shemielohu, if they're going to tell me that they simply didn't hear it. But Iyavishmielu, if they would have heard about the Takon of Rav Gamliel, they know that Asr Shitas Kuti, they would not have eaten the meat. And then Havim Akabla, they would have accepted that the din was that. How could it have been that Rav Yochanan and Rav Asi should have eaten treifa meat? If God will not allow even an animal, speaking of Adam Uvehema, even an animal of an Adam to eat something which is Isser, so then Tzadikim Atzman Lo Koshkin, we're going to see what the case is referring to, so that Tzadik himself certainly would not be allowed by God to eat Isser. Therefore, it must be that this was not Isser L'shitatam, and they had decided, or would have decided, that this is not the correct halakha, and they would have eaten it anyway. Ashkitas kuti. Now, the Isak, the Daikas Loki, if Rebbe Zera had not recognized that Rebbe Yaakov Baridi was right when he said to him, I don't need to tell you what the din is about a case where any Yisrael Oymed Agaba, and that it's talking about even Kishi Yisrael Oymed Agaba, then what was his problem? Why was he worried about the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ate a Shritas Kursi, Rabbi Asi ate a Shritas Kursi? He could simply have said to himself, Kan Kish Yisrael Omeid Agabav, that they ate it because it was Yisrael Omeid Agabav. Rabbi Yaakov Baridi? He didn't know what he was talking about. Really, the only Tzakon of Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino was only not the Shritas Kursi, Kishayin Yisrael Omeid Agabav. And Kan, Kishayin Yisrael Omeid Agabav. Therefore, Elalach Shvamina, Kiblamina Shvamina. It's clear that he had been Mekaba from Yaakov Baridi, that he made a mistake, and that the Takana was a Takana not to eat from Shkitat Kuti, even though Yisrael was Amin Agaba, and therefore he was forced to conclude that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Asi had heard this and rejected it. And they said that the Dalok is not that way, and that you can eat a Shkitat Kusi. Now we'll get into some of the historical background and exciting mysterious events that took place around this tomorrow.